everyone, and welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum. This is episode 20 and a half. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and yeah, today is the first of our retro gaming community, or whatever I called it. And this is where we interview the Retro Asylum community members. And our first guest is Scoopy. Is that how I pronounce it?
Well, I like to pronounce it Scoopy.
Scoopy, right, okay. Yeah. So where does his name come from then?
In the late 90s, with the new Star Wars prequels coming up, there was a big Star Wars thing. And I was at work one day and a guy came up and he said, "Oh, we've got this, what's your Star Wars name?" And there was a formula that you use basically to come up with, you take your first name, your second name, where you were born,
right,
a couple of other things, and anyway, you combine it all and that's your Star Wars name. And I don't know, it kind of stuck. A few people around work were calling me Scoopy, so.
Right, okay, fantastic.
The full name is Scoopy Gunick.
Scoopy Gunick.
That was the Star Wars name, but yeah we dropped the second name.
So that's the name you've been using on the forums and everything since then?
Yeah, my gamer tag on my PS3 is Scoopy32. I was thinking I quite like the name Brutal Deluxe from Speedball 2, but I think that was taken.
And obviously Scoopy was taken because there was 32 beforehand as well, so that's why you aren't 32.
I think I was 32 at the time.
Right,
I think that's
okay.
What I...
All right, so yeah, basically, you're one of our Retro Asylum community members. You're one of our retro maniacs. You've also got our YouTube channel as well, and you do quite a lot of retro videos, and recently you've tried your hand in doing some of the 8-bit war type videos as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've just, I got really inspired by your videos, Andy. I just stumbled across your 8-bit wars one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it, wow, you know, it sort of really rings a bell, because growing up I was exactly the same. I had a Commodore 64 at one stage.
Yeah.
Never had an Amstrad or Spectrum. Saw some of the screenshots on the back of the boxes. Always wondered what they were like.
Now, before we carry on, though, I just want to let all our fans know, you're actually from New Zealand, is that right?
I am, yeah.
Now, was the Spectrum and Amstrad really popular down there, or was it just the C64?
Okay, well, I'm actually English. I was born in England, but we immigrated over here when I was in 82, mm-hmm. When I was 7.
Right.
And I don't remember a lot happening computer-wise for a few years. I know my primary school had a computer that was in the staff room, but nobody ever got to see it. Mm-hmm. I'd heard that I think they had The Hobbit or something like that. Probably wasn't till the mid-80s where everyone seemed to have the Commodore 64 seemed to be the bomb.
Yeah.
I had one friend that had an Amstrad.
Right.
And I know, I hate to say it, but I've never seen a Spectrum.
Oh my God! Really?
I've not known anyone that's ever owned one. That's my entire life.
Retro Asylum, you'll find there's absolutely loads, and you should get yourself one from eBay. But anyway, so I'll tell you what. Let's start back in the good old days. How did you first get into gaming then?
Okay. Well, a neighbour of mine had an Astro Wars Grandstand arcade machine in his bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably one of the first memories I have. And my dad always told me that, I guess, when we were in the amusement arcades, he would sit me up on a machine and just not bother about putting any money in. He would just leave me to it. Apparently, I'd be completely into it, loving it.
Yeah.
I think I've always just been fascinated with games and computers, just always drawn to it.
So after that then, what was the next big memory of gaming then? Where did you go from there?
I didn't get a computer till quite late. So I had friends that had Commodore 64s. And so I'd go around to their friends' place and they would just have boxes and boxes of copied games. Because that's what you do back in the day. They're just so easy to copy. And we'd just spend whole afternoons just playing Goonies and Gauntlet and Last Starfighter, just hundreds of games. Mm-hmm. And when I got, I think when I was 12, there was probably five or six guys in my school that all had Commodore 64s, and they would bring out magazines on the school desk, and there'd be like the new game, The Last Ninja, and raving on about it and stuff. And so eventually in the 88, I think I finally convinced my dad to get me a Commodore 64.
And, must have been ecstatic when you got that.
Oh, well, the funny thing was, the first night we get it home, We went down to the shop.
Yeah.
They had all these, it was a funny, it was down in like the basement level of the shopping mall. Mm-hmm. And they had all the machines lined up, and they had the Commodore 64, and they had tons of games. They had an Amstrad. Now, they might have had a Spectrum, but I just cannot remember ever seeing or hearing of one in New Zealand.
Yeah.
They had the new Amiga. Mm-hmm. And that would have been over $1,000. It was, and they, I remember they had Test Drive going. This is sort of 87, 88.
Yeah.
And it was just, yeah, amazing. But I knew there was no way my dad was going to buy one. So anyway, I went with the Commodore just because all my friends had vast amounts of games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was so easy in the day to just copy.
What games did you get with your C64 when you purchased it, and what games included?
We got I think there was probably some horrible like Commodore bundle games made by Commodore. Right. It came with a horrible, are you familiar with the Commodore joystick? It's like a brown, this horrible brown joystick that didn't click. There was no micro switches in it.
I don't remember that, because I'm sure I had something called like a quick fire joystick for my C64.
Yeah. Well, this was awful. It broke in about less than a week. We had a replacement, and it broke in about another week as well. And
oh no!
The whole thing just fell apart. It was terrible. But I think I got what was it? We Are the Champions. Mm. Was it by Ocean?
I think that does ring a bell. I think it might have been by Ocean, that one.
I think, yeah, it came with Super Sprint, International Karate, Rampage, Renegade.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of others.
Your favorite game in that little compilation then that you had then?
International Karate Plus.
Right, absolute classic. What were your first impressions when you first played that game? Had you played the first International Karate, or was this your first experience with it all?
I think I'd played the first one a few years before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, this was, yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, it was one of my favorite games.
No, it truly is an absolute classic game, and it looks absolutely amazing. Even to this day, you look at it, and it's got all those little things happening in the background, the little dolphin thing, things flying in the background, all these hidden bits of animation, and the music is absolutely superb.
Yeah, you know that you can, pressing different keys on the keyboard can make like the dolphin come up and Pac-Man go across the screen.
You had read about that. I think I read about that in Retro Gamer.
Trousers?
That's the other one. I don't think I've actually ever managed to do that, though.
Yeah, you can type in words as well. Like if you put swear words in, it'll threaten to reset the machine or something, and if you do it again, it'll quit the game.
Do you know that actually works during emulation then, or is that just actually only on the original? I don't know. Would that still work?
It'll work, yeah. Also, I'll think of a few other Commodore.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
Okay, Zarjazz. That's a good game. Mm. I enjoy music. Leave It Running. Probably about a couple of minutes into that soundtrack, it gets pretty epic.
Mm-hmm.
And Rumble.
No, I haven't heard that one.
Street Hassle was another name for it.
Right. I think that might ring a bell, actually, Street Hassle.
Yeah, there was a really bad version of it on the NES.
Oh, yes. I know the one you're referring to, yeah.
Yeah,
I know the one.
Yeah, it's good. It is good. Yeah, very punishing, but yeah, it's good fun. You get the grannies that throw handbags at you, and old men with walking canes that attack. And I think every level there's different. You get different wrestling moves to do.
Yeah,
yeah. Had the wrestling character with a mullet, and for some reason they give him a haircut.
Yeah,
and there was another game I had, which is a bit like a Zelda game.
Okay, that's a bit interesting, actually, especially in the C64. What game was that, then?
Well, it was by Origin, who did the Ultima games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but this one was sort of a more arcadey, as I say, a top-down Zelda-type game. And no loading at all. Once the game started, there was a massive world to explore. It came with a giant fold-out map.
Those were the best things back in the days when you used to get maps or anything included in the game. It really just added a lot more to the actual game overall.
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. There was, I think, on the map or in the story, they mention a giant, a massive giant that patrols the forest, in the northeast area.
Yeah.
And sure enough, if you go up there, you're going through the forest, there's this just massive giant that you have to attack. That's good. It's a good game.
Who was it who made this game then? Because this game actually sounds really interesting. It sounds like something I completely missed this game back in the day. Who was it who made it?
I still have the box in the other room. As I say, it's by Origin, but I think it's... I'm trying to remember the guy's name.
Not to worry. I mean, I'll just Google it a little bit later. So what was it about the C64 then that just you really loved then? Was it because all your friends had it? Was it the arcade conversions? Was it because it was cheap and cheerful?
Yeah, it was the idea that you could buy the machine, go around to your friend's place and just with a pile of blank discs and just copy any game you like. A lot of the games had on one disc, you might have five or six games on there as well. But there was also there were some really, really good games on there.
Hello everybody, this is Damien and you're listening to Retro Asylum, the best retro gaming podcast.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Scott, what I'll ask you then is, since you seem to be a bit of a C64 fan, why don't you tell us your three must-have C64 games that if you could only play three games for the rest of your life on the C64, what games would they be and why?
Maniac Mansion.
Right, okay, yeah, the LucasArts game. Okay, why don't you tell us a little bit about why you love this game so much and...
Yeah, so Maniac Mansion. Really liked the humor in it, mm-hmm. And the fact that you could run around this mansion and there'd be the characters running around trying to capture you, finding the Nurse Edna in the kitchen when you first walk in, and just having to run for your life. It was good. And also the fact that I had a couple of friends come over one weekend and we sat down and we really wanted to try and get through the game.
Yeah,
and then we ran out of time. My mum said, "Guys, it's time to go home. It's tea time," yeah. And so we ended up turning it off without knowing that you could save the game.
Oh no! After all that,
I know. And then eventually we worked it out, and so we decided to do it. I think the following weekend, yeah. And we got right to the very end, and there was an error on the last.
Oh.
On one of the last discs, read error. Yeah.
So have you actually ever finished this game, or has that just haunted you forever?
Exactly, but I've watched the ending on YouTube. I don't need to do it again.
but you haven't got this part of you that actually really wants to do it.
Yeah, I've tried a couple of times. I had an Amiga version as well, but I just ran out of interest or time.
I tried the Amiga version compared to the C64 version then.
It's good. A lot less disc, swapping and that sort of thing. Yeah, no, it
have
is
you
good.
Ever played the NES version on that?
I have. I tried doing a speed run with that game as well.
Okay.
And
okay.
Yeah, again, I just ran. Didn't have the time or whatever.
It's just one of those things. Once you get to a certain age, time unfortunately disappears.
There's a Famicom version of that as well. That's quite different.
Is there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it doesn't need scrolling in it or something.
Oh, I had no idea.
They've all got big heads or something. They look quite different.
Right, okay, I had no idea. All right, so why don't you tell us your next must-have game then that,
Yep, sure. Last Ninja 2.
Oh, absolute classic then.
Yeah, well, it's probably my favourite Commodore game just because it was just, at the time, it was just so, bloody amazing. It was just awesome. The graphics and the sound.
The music is absolutely superb. The animation on the actual ninja, the visuals are just absolutely fantastic. And I just like the whole sort of new environment in this game. It just really just, for me at the time, it was like movie quality.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I'm remembering this wrong, but I think on one of the last ninja games, I'm sure in the actual full budget game, it came in a box. It had like a little map thing, and I'm sure it also came with a ninja star. I don't know whether you guys got that there.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a rubber shuriken. Yeah,
but I'm sure it was. I'm sure it wasn't rubber though. I'm sure it was some sort of plastic. And
oh, okay.
I'm surprised how they managed to get away with that, because you know it would hurt if you threw it at someone.
Well, I got given the game as a full box birthday present. Right. But mine didn't have a throwing star or a ninja mask or anything like that. But I think maybe they took it out. But yeah, it was funny because my granddad had sat down and played it before he gave it to me.
Really?
Yeah, this is in England, of course, and he'd worked out after many hours how to get off the first level, and he'd written a big page of instructions on how to finish the level.
Right. And did you follow those instructions, or did you try and figure it out yourself?
By the time the game had actually been shipped over to me,
yeah,
I'd already been given a cracked version.
Yeah.
So I'd already completely finished the game.
Okay. I mean, it was a great game, but it was just certain points that you had to be really precise with jumping. Was it the second game that you had the little river and you had the little stones that you had to jump over, or was that? Or am I thinking?
No, that's the first.
The second one had the boat, was it, that you had to jump across, or was that again the first one?
The first game has some river crossings with little stones, and it's still terrible today. Like it almost kills the game.
I think, but once you've mastered it, you'd get used to it. But I think it's just, for me, it's just, it really frustrated, you know. I don't think I actually got beyond a few levels of the last ninja games, but I think I was just wowed by the music and the overall animation of the game, and plus it had ninjas in it.
Yeah, no, definitely. The jumping on the second one is you know, a lot easier. Have you seen the bit, I think it's one of the later levels where he comes down on the helicopter? Have you seen that?
No. It was, like I said, I couldn't even get past the first level, and that's how awful I was at this game.
Before I ever played the game, that was a screenshot that was in one of the old Commodore user magazines. I just couldn't believe it was a Commodore 64 game. It just looked that good.
All right, so we'll move on to the other game then, your last game then. Which game are you going to choose for us?
Okay, I'll go with a little bit more obscure one. That would be Mad Doctor. Familiar with that game?
I haven't got a clue. Inform us, enlighten us.
Okay, it's kind of like a Frankenstein game.
Mm-hmm.
You're a mad doctor, and you've got to run around. You're in a village. You've got to leave your castle. You've got to go down and harvest body parts to make a Frankenstein monster. And you can decide to attack villagers and take their body parts, which obviously are fresh, or you can go to the grave. The graveyard and dig up body parts and things. It doesn't sound very nice, does it?
No, it sounds interesting. What sort of style of gameplay was it? I mean, compare it to another game, because I'm just trying to visualize what sort of game was it. Was it a 3D isometric, like Batman-style game, or was it sort of more like a Dizzy-style game?
It was sort of looking down, but it had a perspective to it. Yeah, I'm not trying. It's not a 3D isometric game, but yeah, there is perspective to it, and it's kind of like an open world game. In fact, it's probably closest to Friday the 13th.
Ah, okay, but visually, it was better than Friday the 13th, was it?
Slightly. The graphics are very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, but. But the idea was eventually you try and find the best body parts possible, take them back to your castle, put it all together, take the body to where was it? Take the body to the grave site and get him electrocuted.
Right.
No, take him to the top of one of the mountains and he gets struck by lightning. And so that makes the corpse. And then you have to take the corpse to the town hall, and the villagers decide basically how well he does. And if you use all the wrong body parts, he goes crazy, and they all try and kill him.
So you've actually finished this game then?
Yeah. Well, there's different way. It gives you a rating.
Right. And, okay.
Yeah. So basically, it grades you on your ability to make a monster, and it's very hard because the villagers, they cotton on to what you're doing, and they often attacking you and chasing you around the town.
So how long would you say it takes you from the beginning of the game to actually finish it then? Because it sounds like it's really overly complicated, searching for certain things, and especially if it's sort of like open world, looking for certain things all around the place.
I think once you know what you're doing, you could probably finish it in about half an hour.
Oh, okay. That's not too bad then.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's on YouTube, so you could check it out. It doesn't go for too long. It's probably about 15, 20 minutes, half an hour at the most.
I think I definitely will check it out, because that's what I love about hearing other people talk about their retro games, because there were certain games that I used to play, and there's so many games that I obviously missed out on, so I think that would be one to add to my list or to actually check out.
This is Matt Denaris. When the modern world is taking its toll on me, I tune into the Retro Asylum podcast.
Now, the next thing I want to sort of like mention is earlier on, you were, you know, before we start recording, you mentioned something called Name the Game. And it was basically you were trying to sort of remember a game that you had played back in the day and you can't remember it. You told me and I couldn't remember it. So what I'm hoping is that one of our community members will actually be able to tell us what the actual game was. So, yeah, why don't you describe what this game was like then, and hopefully one of our listeners can figure it out.
Yeah, okay, I'll give it a go, because it was a long, long time ago.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, I was at a friend's house, and he was playing a game. Never got to play it, but it was a man on a bike. I'm pretty sure it was a red motorbike. Mm-hmm. And you drive up the road, and it would be sort of like a pole position type game.
Yeah.
And there would be forks in the road every now and again, and you'd have to pick where you wanted to go, and then every now and again you'd be attacked by some sort of aliens or something, and it would shift. The game would shift to like a defender type game, but before that it would show a cutscene of the motorbike transforming into like a hover bike. And then from there, it'd be like some sort of defender game that you'd have to run around, destroy all the aliens, and then it would transform back and you'd carry on your journey. And I have no idea what it's called.
And you know what? The way you've described it, I really want to find out what game it is as well. I really want to know what it is. It sounds amazing.
Well, I always wanted to keep going and find out where you're going and what's it all about. Yeah.
So, if any of our listeners that can figure out what that game is, why not sort of let us know? Because I'm dying to know. And I'm sure Scott is as well.
Yeah.
Okay, then. So, you're a retro gaming fan. You've got your retro gaming channel on YouTube. So, how on earth did you start doing that then on YouTube then?
Well, basically, I stumbled across your 8-Bit Wars and... it really rung a chord. You know, I could sort of really relate to that because having Commodore 64 at the time, in the back of the box would have an Amstrad or even a Spectrum, screenshots as well. Mm-hmm. And I was always being quite a visual guy. I was always really fascinated with the differences.
Yeah.
And I only had one friend that had an Amstrad. And the games were radically different.
Mm-hmm.
Games like Grisor and I think they had a game called Cauldron or something, Operation Wolf.
Really
different.
That game. Absolutely loved that. So you've been doing some of the 8-Bit Wars as well, so what made you think, you know what, I'll give this a shot myself?
Just because I really enjoyed watching your videos, and I thought I'd give it a go, and I found out I have more fun putting it together rather than doing the commentary. And it
was real. Why is that then, with the commentary?
I'm not a talker. I'm not a podcaster, and you know, I'd keep sort of stumbling over my words and things. And I decided one day, oh, I'll just get the computer to, I'll type it out and get the computer to talk.
Yeah.
Talk but like a robot.
What, it gives a lot of character, actually, because a lot of people on YouTube, it is them talking, and this just makes that a little bit more different. And yeah, it's really enjoyable. And I really enjoy your series of videos that you're doing, because I can sit back and actually enjoy someone else's experience and opinion on the games that I used to play. And I haven't done 8-Bit Wars in ages. I will be doing a whole new 8-Bit Wars, which I'm really looking forward to. But again, it's just finding the time to do it.
Hello, this is Potty Boy, and you're listening to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
The other little thing I wanted to find out from you then was, how on earth did you come across the Retro Asylum?
Yeah, again, it all just started from your 8-Bit Wars and your original website and in the one-hour monthly podcast.
Oh, yeah, but the stupidly long name that I chose, why or why I chose that, I have no idea.
Yeah, so just be following you from there.
No, I really, really appreciate it. It's just like... community members like you at the Retro Asylum just really makes it all worthwhile. Sometimes it's just like, oh no, could I do another podcast? And then I get some nice positive feedback, and I think, you know what, I will do another one, and I'll do another one. And it's really inspiring, and it's nice to have people like you on the forum, because you guys are keeping it alive, you're uploading videos, and it's fantastic, you know?
So yeah.
I'm really glad that I've managed to get you on the show.
Well, it's fantastic, and you know, I'm usually working away by myself in the office during the day, and I'll just flick on a new podcast and work away with you guys in the background. It's great. All right. Fantastic.
Let's get back to you then. So let's talk about some arcade games then.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite style arcade games? I mean, what's your favorite arcade game ever then?
Ooh, ever. Oh, geez. The first time a friend of mine in the late 90s showed me MAME, yeah. You know, for the first time, immediately the first game that jumped into my head was RoboCop. Okay. Yeah, I had to see that game again. RoboCop, Midnight Resistance, Toki, what else? Smash TV.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, Road Blaster.
Games, lived up to your sort of nostalgic sort of memory of it, or... do they play as good, in your opinion?
Some do. Some age horribly.
Go on, if you give us an example then, like one that's aged really badly then.
Ooh.
Put you on the spot there, did I?
You got me stumped. Okay, yeah, I'd say like Mortal Kombat or something. It's probably aged pretty badly.
But did you actually really like it back in the day?
I was quite impressed by it. You know, we turned up in our arcade one day, you know, and it was right in the front. Mm-hmm. Crowds of people around it. I had a mate that was Street Fighter crazy, so he was blown away by it. But it was cool at the time. Yeah.
Okay, I've got another quick question for you then. So what is your favorite computer or console ever? You know, if you could only play one, which one would it be?
Ooh, can I have one for a console and one for a computer?
Go on then.
Okay, computer would be the Amiga 500.
Oh, wow. Okay, I thought you were going to say C64 there.
No. I probably loved my Amiga more than the Commodore, just because of all the games, but also all the art programs. I was doing, my homework on it. I was doing... animations on it,
yeah.
Cartoons. I was doing, you know, it was such a varied computer.
Yeah. And you'd be interested to know, I'm actually giving away an Amiga 500.
Yeah.
In a few episodes. I think I'm going to announce the winner on episode 25. So one lucky winner is going to get my Amiga, which was nicely donated by Swainy. So yeah, thanks Swainy for giving me one of those to give away. appreciate it.
Fantastic. I wish I hadn't. I gave mine away to a friend for virtually nothing. Yeah.
Well, you never know. Just enter the competition and you never know, you might win.
No, I'll have to do that.
All right, so you've told us about your computer then. What about your favourite console and why?
Favourite console? Yeah, it'd probably be either the Dreamcast or the PlayStation 2.
Go on then. You got to pick one.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with the PlayStation 2. I know it's a common machine and everything, but just because of the vast amounts of games on it.
Mm-hmm.
Gran Turismo, Tekken, Pro Evolution Soccer, so many.
Okay then, yeah, PlayStation 2 was a great machine, and it really sort of like made most machines after that have like DVD drives in them so you could watch your DVDs.
Yeah.
Right, so I've got one last question for you before we round this up. WTF game, which game is the worst game you've ever played, which you detest and you hate, and tell us why you hate this game so much?
Probably Double Dragon on the Commodore 64.
Double Dragon on the Commodore 64. Wow.
Probably. Which was kind of funny because I lived quite close to my school and I always had friends coming over at lunchtimes, and they would sit down with me and watch me finish Double Dragon from start to finish.
Yeah. But was this the sort of game that you actually quite liked back in the day, and looking back at it, you actually don't like?
Yeah, it was. Well, that was the problem. With the Commodore, I always wished, that the graphics would be a little bit closer to the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
It was never quite there, and it was just such a bad it was a bad conversion.
But saying that though, the C64 had some amazing conversions. Like one of my favorite arcade conversions ever is the Simpsons Arcade. Have you ever played that or seen that?
Yeah, I've watched your YouTube on it. I've never seen it before then.
It's absolutely amazing. It's like, I have no idea how they managed to squish that into a C64. It's simply superb.
The intro's like a more pixelated version of the arcade.
Yeah, I think it must have definitely been sort of multi-load on the original, but it's just truly superb how they managed to do it. Okay, we're going to start rounding this up a little bit now. So, yeah, basically, I just wanted to say thank you for taking the time for being our first guest in our Retro Community Summer. We've got four more guests on episode 22 and a half, 23 and a half, 24 and 25 and a half. So, yeah, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Oh, no problem. No, happy to be here. It's a bit surreal. It's nice. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Now, before you go off, I ask you to pick a retro tune which we can sort of take the show off with. So basically, what tune would you like to pick?
Okay, I'd like to go with Zaz Jazz, which I believe is by Ben Daglish.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Right, okay, well, I'll do that. I'll edit in the music. Now, have you got any shout-outs or any thank yous you'd like to say to anyone?
Just every yourself and everyone at the Retro Asylum and Malk. Brilliant. Thank you.
Right. Is there anything, any websites or anyone you'd like to give a mention to? I don't know, like the C64 Lemon. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. The Lemon site is probably the best site for Commodore 64 news and information, games, that sort of thing. And if anyone does want to check out my YouTube channel for some reason, it's YesScopey32.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Fantastic channel. Right, so yeah, I'm Andy Godoy, and this has been episode 21 and a half, and we'll see you next time.